So greetings to everybody. Now we are going through the 7th chapter of Bodhisattva Avatara and the chapter of diligence. So we talked about the opposite of diligence, which is laziness. So there are three different types of laziness. And the first laziness is just being idle, procrastinate, delay, not making efforts, not doing anything, just, you know, simple laziness. And this, or too much craving for sleep, too much craving or to just doing nothing or enjoy by just not doing anything. And also, you know, more importantly, or in a long term purpose, that you do not try to find a solution or find a method or way to find a lasting peace and happiness, to be free from the suffering in a total way. Generally speaking, I think it is very important to understand it is not too much clearly mentioned at this time, but if we need to achieve anything, if we need to make anything happen that we want it to happen, whether it is to solve a problem, whether it's to bring something good or to generate some positive things or to achieve something, nothing happens unless we create the causes and conditions for this to happen. And so therefore, you know, if we are lazy, then nothing can happen. Neither can we, you know, improve, neither can we learn something important and useful, neither we can accomplish something that is good for me or good for others. So we cannot achieve anything, you know, just being lazy. Being lazy is not only it will remain static, then if you are lazy and don't do anything positive, then we will naturally decline. And that everybody knows. So therefore, you know, we need to, if we see that we have this tendency of laziness, it's very dangerous, it's very counterproductive, it's not good. So therefore, we need to try to do something to lessen it or to get rid of it. By understanding, you know, that the importance of improving things, importance of getting something done, importance of clearing some of the obstacles and whatever, you know, we have to understand, we have to be motivated. And so if there is a problem, we can work on my own life's problems, you know, what I will become in the future, if I want to become or want to be some in a certain way in the future or create a certain situation in the future, I cannot get it done just by praying to the Buddha or God or anything. I have to create the causes and conditions for this to happen. So therefore, I have to get it done. I have to make it happen. So therefore, I have to learn how to do it. I have to be interested in it. I have to be motivated and I have to make efforts. And if I fail one time, that doesn't mean that, you know, it is not necessarily that if I do something very quickly and very effort, with lots of efforts, and then it will always certainly happen. That's nothing like that. But, you know, I have to work on it with patience, with determination, with enthusiasm, joyfully, you know, things like that. That's important. So as most of us in the world are only thinking for short-term things, and we are only thinking in the next 5 years or next 10 years or in this life, you know, how things will happen. And we are making lots of efforts and very motivated. Many times, most of the time, we are motivated to achieve something that is only quite short term, you know, 10 years, 20 years, until I retire, or, you know, until in this life, and only for myself, or a very small people around me, like my family, or, you know, things like that. That's important. That's good. I have to do that. I have to work for my own improvement. I have to work for the improvement of my dear and near ones. I have to work for the for my own future, for the future of my dear and near ones, for the future of my country, for the future of the world also. And I have to do everything that is, and try to do it as much as possible. That's very, very good and important. But it is also important that, you know, from the Buddhist point of view, from the Dhamma point of view, that I also have to think about how to solve the issue of attaining the everlasting, lasting peace and happiness for myself, and lasting peace and happiness for all the sentient beings. How to end the suffering and causes of suffering of everybody. It's also, you know, this is, from Buddhist point of view, this is very important, because this is what Buddha was thinking. As you know, Buddha, when he was a prince, Siddhartha, it was predicted that he could become a Chakravarti king, means like the universal king, a king who would, you know, emperor who would conquer many countries and, you know, very great empire. And he had all those qualities to become a great emperor. He was very, very intelligent. He was very skillful in everything, including martial arts, politics, everything. He had. He was very learned. He was very strong, brave, and kind. Everything. But he realized soon that even if he became the emperor of the whole world, would he be able to solve all the problems of the world? He understood that he couldn't, and nobody could solve the problems of all the world. Because, you know, they are natural. As long as you are a human being, you will give birth, you are born, and lots of pain and problems getting born. You'll get old, everybody gets old, and there are lots of pain and problems in the process of getting old, and all the problems and pain of old age. Everybody will get sick one time or another, and it is very painful, and lots of suffering, getting sick, and then everybody dies. And you cannot prevent that. Even the most powerful emperor, most powerful and learned doctor, nobody can prevent these things. And then, therefore, you know, you will get lots of things that you don't want. Everybody gets lots of things you don't want. Everybody do not get or do not have many things that you want. You lose things, you lose people that you love very much. That is very, very painful. And this is happening all the time in the world. And you cannot change that. Then, so however much successful you become, however much, you know, learned or powerful or famous or attained you become, you have to go through this, and you have to see that everybody around you go through all these things. So therefore, you know, even if you achieve what you want and achieve some good things, great things in this world, it is not a true solution. It is not a permanent solution. There is no permanent solution. So therefore, you know, one needs to think a little bit deeper and see that, you know, is it that there is no possibility? Is it that there is no, you cannot, there is no hope that you can solve the problems of the sufferings of the beings? This is where, you know, the Buddha's kind of search was. That's why he left the palace, he left his wife and child and kingdom, and went in search of a way that, how can I answer this question? How can I find a solution? So the enlightenment of the Buddha was a solution for that. Although we cannot eradicate all the things, all the causes and conditions in the world that we are in now, we are born, we cannot get rid of all the problems. But we can do something subjectively. We can actually change our way of experiencing, and therefore we can find a way that whatever these things happening, sufferings, pains and problems, we can find a way that we do not, we change our way of experiencing, we change our way of seeing things, and thereby all these things happening doesn't bother us. And that is what he called enlightenment, and that is trying to see things, how things really are, how I really am, how, you know, everything really is. And then, in this way, if you change the way of seeing things, the way of reacting to things, then you change your way of experiencing things. And this could actually bring a lasting peace and happiness in you. So therefore, you know, sometimes in Buddhism we say samsara is suffering. There's always suffering in the samsara. That's true. But what is samsara? You know, samsara is not just this world. You know, the world is not the samsara. Beings are not samsara. Human beings are not samsara. Life of a human being is not samsara. Samsara is the way we are acting and reacting, the way we are seeing things, the way we react things. There is samsara and nirvana both. If you react with negative emotions, negative habitual tendencies, in a kind of a way that is not according to the way things are, then what we call it is samsara. And then we are bound to have pain and problem and suffering. If we can change that and see things as how they really are, react in that way, and whether it's our emotions or reactions or habitual tendencies, if we can change that, then we can have a totally different way of experiencing, and we can go beyond the sufferings and can eradicate all kind of sufferings, and we can become totally free from all the sufferings and have lasting peace and happiness, which can never be disturbed by whatever happens in the world. So this is called enlightenment, and it is also important that we should try at least to understand and try to a little bit long term also, you know, what is really the problem. Because if we see a little bit what exactly are the problems that's giving so much pain and problem, and creating so much pain and problem in the world, we can have a little bit of understanding, you know, what are the most important issues that we need to work, that we need to tackle with. Say, like, even when we look at the world now, you know, in the history of the world. You can see the world, the history of the world, human world, has been history of wars. And we can easily say that the wars create so much pain and so much suffering for both parties. Sometimes we make the wars very kind of grand and kind of aggrandize the world, but actually it is lots of suffering. And why do we fight wars? Because of hatred, sometimes because of we need something, we want something, sometimes because of ignorance. So therefore, these emotions are behind the walls, and so therefore these emotions are actually the cause of suffering, indirectly. So we stop here this time. Thank you very much.